Well, thank you for your generous giving of God's tithes and our offerings today. I want to just mention something that's happening this Sunday or this Saturday, drive-in prayer and movie. Not a drive-in movie and prayer, but drive-in prayer and a movie. And it starts at 10:30. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get in some cars, and we'll figure out a route where you will go and drive, two or three of you in a car, and we're going to pray for our community. As I said last week, your prayer that day might be the only prayer that they're receiving. We don't know who they are. We don't know the business or how many people live in that home, but we're going to be praying for Morris today. Do we care about Morris? We do. And so if you could come, we'll gather here. We'll get divided up into cars, and we'll go some routes for about half an hour, 45 minutes, and pray. And so some of you are like, well, I'm not comfortable praying out loud. That's okay. Maybe somebody in your car can pray out loud, but you can pray silently. God hears those prayers. I'm pretty sure he's God. He can hear your prayer. And so we'll come back about 11:30-ish or so, and we got a lunch prepared, and we'll enjoy some fellowship, and then we'll watch a movie. It's called The Forge. And it's a Christian movie based on, it's good stuff. So I encourage you to come and hang out with Pastor and his wife, and because they're awesome. I mentioned that last week, and it was crickets. So anyway, we would love to have you. There's a sign up down there so we can know how many are coming. And let's just have an afternoon together. Some of you can't make it. That's okay. But thank you for praying for our community. And then lastly, I want to mention a business meeting is happening the last Sunday of this month, February 22nd, right after the service. And so we'll have a main service in here for the members that want to be a part of that. We encourage you, if you're a member, to come. Even if you're not a member, you're invited to be a part of that meeting to kind of look behind the scenes and to kind of see the finances and the ministries that are happening this past year of 2025. So if you're a member, you have to be there. We will come get you at your house. And but please be there for that. And so we'll talk more about that down the road. But business meeting, kind of mark that on your calendar. All right, that's all the announcements. Okay, when I was a little kid growing up in the 1970s in Utah, there was a busy four-lane road behind our house. Backyard. Now, between our backyard fence and the busy road was a ditch full of weeds, full of debris, full of garbage. You know how that goes, right? People are driving and they just toss stuff. And occasionally, playing in the backyard, a football would go over the fence or a baseball or some kind of ball would go over the fence. And so we'd have to climb it and fetch that ball out of that nasty ditch as cars go zooming by. In fact, I think one of our dogs got hit by that one of those cars back in the day. It was kind of sad. Well, one day, a ball went over the fence, so I went over there looking for it, and I found a woman's red purse. It looked like it hadn't been there very long in this nasty ditch, so I scooped it up. I climbed back over the fence into the backyard, and I rifled through that purse for any cash, and I dumped it in the garbage can. No, I didn't do that. Some of you, your respect just went, woo. No, I didn't do that. I took it to my mom, who back in the day, you could find someone's phone number, right, in their wallet. And she called the lady's phone number. And a short time later, this lady came to the house to get her purse. I didn't get to meet her. I was in the bathtub because I was dirty. But this lady was so grateful that I had found her purse, she brought me a gallon of ice cream. Remember the buckets of ice cream, right? I said, no way, I want cash. No, I didn't say that. So that was the very first time that I've had ice cream. No, that's not true. Okay. Yes, what's the truth? Last Sunday, I know it was cold and snowy and the roads were not real good. I shared our new year-long theme for 2026. Jesus over all. Jesus over all. He's still faithful. He's still holy. He's still good. And Jesus reminds us not to be troubled, to trust in Him like we do God. Jesus reminds us He assures us that it's not if, but when we go through pain, when we go through sorrows in this life, we can take heart because He has overcome the world. Jesus over all, over death, over fear, over worries, over the powers of hell. Jesus over our current troubles, our relationship difficulties, the traumas and wounds from our past, work issues, even in our finances. Jesus over all. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God through Jesus. Nothing. I don't know if you've ever found something valuable like I did that day, or like a treasure that was buried somewhere, but the thrill of the find can be exhilarating. I'm sure that there are some here who have metal detectors, and you're hoping to find an old coin or jewelry or some artifact, anything of value that's been buried, that's, you know, in a very real sense, we're all looking for that elusive treasure, longing for a joy we just can't always find. One of those things that Jesus is over is possessions, money. So today I've titled my message, this new series, Jesus Over Money. Jesus Over Money. Did you know that 15% of everything that Jesus taught or said was about money or possessions? That's more than heaven and hell combined. How many believe in heaven? Yeah, right? Jesus told us, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. So it's important. We believe in that. But we also need to understand, He said a lot about money and possessions. Why? Why did Jesus talk about money and possessions so much? Well, listen, I believe it's because He knew that our spiritual lives are connected very closely with how we handle money. Let me say that again. Our spiritual lives are connected very closely with how we handle money. Jesus knew that humanity wouldn't serve God unless they dethrone their idol of money or possessions. And as we are 32 days into a new year, let's dig into God's Word and discover the truth about what we all use and what we all need, money. Is Jesus Lord, Master over our possessions, over our money? Or does money or possessions lord it over us? So I've titled my message this morning, God Owns It All. God owns it all. There comes a point in life, whether we're younger, whether we're in the middle ages of our lives, or even older, that we come to an understanding that changes everything. God owns it all. It's all His. Everything we see and everything we don't see, guess what? It all belongs to Him. He owns everything in and on the earth, and all that's been discovered or yet to be discovered, even the stars and the planets and the galaxies that are millions and millions of miles away. And coming to this understanding that God owns it all, it changes our perspective about life. It changes our perspective about money, about possessions, about what's really important. Knowing God owns it all helps us to begin to loosen, or sometimes our very tight grip on our possessions or our prized treasures, even our financial security. God owns it all. God owns it all. And for this series, the next few weeks, I'm going to be using some thoughts from Randy Alcorn's book, The Treasure Principle, Discovering the Secret of Joyful Giving. See, this thought that God owns it all is throughout Scripture. If you remember David, he was a man after God's own heart, which is saying something. That is an impeccable title, right? A man after God's own heart. He wrote this in Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Period. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything that's on this earth, the world, belongs to God. He owns it all. In the book of Job, God asked Job a couple of questions. Do you still want to argue with the Almighty? You are God's critic, but do you have the answers? Job replies, I am nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I will put my hand over my mouth in silence. I have nothing more to say. I'll shut up now. God challenges Job and all of humanity in Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7. Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you know so much, who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations? And who laid its cornerstone as the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? A couple of chapters later, Job chapter 41, verse 11 says this, who has given me anything that I need to pay back? Everything under heaven is mine, says God. Everything under heaven is mine. You can hear the passion in God's voice when he asks those rhetorical questions. Go on, tell me. If you know so much, I'm listening. God says everything under heaven belongs to him. I'm in charge of all of this. I run the universe. It's all mine. It's pretty clear, leaving no doubt, God created it all and he owns it all. God is speaking to his people in Psalm chapter 50. Starting at verse 7, he says this, oh, my people, listen as I speak. Here are my charges against you. O Israel, I am God, your God. I have no complaint about your sacrifices or the burnt offerings you constantly bring to my altar. But I want no more bulls from your barns. I want no more goats from your pens. For all the animals of the forest are mine. And I own what? The cattle on a thousand hills. Every bird of the mountains and all the animals of the field belong to me. If I were hungry, I would not mention it to you, for all the world is mine and everything in it. I don't need the bulls you sacrifice. I don't need the blood of goats. What I want instead is your true thanks to God. I want you to fulfill your vows to the Most High. Verse 15, trust me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. That's the word of the Lord. One commentator wrote this, God is addressing that their hearts are not in their worship. Their devotion is faithful, but it's only routine. They have left their first love and are worshiping God out of habit and not from their heart. Outwardly, right? Outwardly, they were doing all the right things regarding the sacrifices, but inwardly they were just going through the motions. Listen, we've all been there. We've all been there. They'd forgotten that God wants their hearts before he wants their sacrifices. All the animals in their sacrifices, guess what? Already belong to him. He owns all the cattle, he owns all the birds, and all the animals everywhere. What God wants from his people, for those listening online, I'm pointing to all of us, he's wanting is thanksgiving from our hearts, obedience to his word, prayer, and a desire to honor him in everything. But in our time of need, we love to quote the last half of verse 10. I, talking about God, I own the cattle on a thousand hills. It literally means mountains of a thousand. this is God's way of saying and communicating, it all belongs to me. I own it all. We'll pray, right? God, can you just sell one cow so I can make that payment? God, will you just sell one cow and meet my need or fill in the blank for you? Bottom line, God owns it all. God owns it all. On February 20th, 2019, the tow truck took my 2002 Ford Ranger away. It had finally died. Give me some sympathy. I thought about showing you a video, but I took a video of that, the tow truck. I love my little truck. And for a few months, I didn't have any wheels to drive. Julie and I kind of worked in the same direction, and I would take her to work and then pick her up, and it was, anyway. A few short months later, though, on May 9th, 2019, I was gifted my current vehicle, my 2007 Honda CR-V that I'm still driving today. It came from a former youth group student of mine back in Pittsburgh, where we were the youth pastors 120 years ago, it feels like. At the time, so he had gotten married, they had three kids, and they were in ministry in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And they are missionaries currently to Thailand, and before they left, they gave me their Honda. They knew I had a need, said, hey, God said we're going to give this to you. That's never happened before or since, right? You know God answers prayer, right? But God knew my need, and I know that God blessed them for giving it to me. And when they gave it to me, right, the keys, everything, the title, it had 192,550 miles on it. Some of you are shocked, right? So as they lived in Green Bay, they were itinerating as missionaries, and so they would travel. And so, you know, right, highway miles aren't as bad as city miles. So I didn't care. Today, as I was driving here, I just passed 307,000 miles. And it's still going strong. I just put tires on it. I hope those tires, you know, will last. I wanted this SUV to last me a long time, so I've kept up on the needed maintenance and the needed repairs. I want to steward what was given to me. I want to take care of it and not take it for granted, knowing this vehicle enables me to drive to Peace Chapel. We don't live in Morris. We live about 45 minutes north. That vehicle enables me to visit you in the hospital and so much more. I thank God for my Honda CR-V. Since Jesus is over all and God owns it all, where does that leave you? Jesus is over all and God owns it all. Where does that leave you? Well, I'm glad you asked. You guys asked such great questions. Because God owns it all, the first point this morning is this. I am God's money manager. I am God's money manager. You are His money manager. God has entrusted you, not given you, entrusted you to you, His assets. Now, there's a word in the church, I just mentioned it a minute ago, steward, that we don't use much anymore. A steward or a money manager manages out assets for the owner. The steward doesn't own it. The owner does. The steward does with it what the owner desires, then he carries it out. Are you tracking with me? You are God's steward, managing His money, not yours. Remember, it all belongs to God anyway. There was a man who rode his horse up to John Wesley, shouting, Mr. Wesley, something terrible happened. Your house burned to the ground. And Wesley weighed the news and calmly replied, no, the Lord's house burned to the ground. That means one less responsibility for me. He wasn't in denial, but boldly proclaiming that God owns it all. And he was simply God's steward of his home. See, the idea is that you are a steward of God's assets and looking for the best place to invest the owner, his money. That's the principle in God's word. One day, believers will stand before God on how they did. It says in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and verse 12, remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. Right? Your name is on God's account. And he has something to say about where you put the money that he's entrusted to you. Are you stewarding God's money well? Are you managing the money God has entrusted you for his purposes? So, you are God's money manager. Because God owns it all, second small point today is my money doesn't belong to me. My money doesn't belong to me. See, we often feel since we worked for the paycheck, it's mine. It's ours. We put in the hard work. We showed up every day to do the labor. It's ours. We're the ones who went to school to get that degree. We're the ones who went to that interview. We're the ones that earn the paycheck. Even in retirement, you put in 40, 50, 60 years of work. It's yours. It's mine, right? You can do whatever you want with it. The first step to make sure Jesus is over your money is to remember that God owns it all, even your paycheck, even your retirement check. God's word says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, remember that the Lord your God gives you the strength to make a living. Remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the power to become rich. God gives you the power to gain wealth. God gives you the ability to produce wealth. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. Your money, my money, doesn't belong to you, doesn't belong to me. It's on loan from God to be used for his purpose and for his kingdom. There was a group of Jesus followers who understood this principle that their money wasn't really theirs. They got it. They understood it. In describing the beginning of the very first church, Luke writes in Acts chapter 2, sorry, starting with verse 42. They joined with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. As a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers, not some, all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. Skip over to chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. All the believers were of one heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. They shared everything they had, and the apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great favor was upon them all. There was no poverty among them because people who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money to the apostles to give to others in need. That is a picture of the beginning of the church. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They felt like what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. We had a neighbor when we lived in Pittsburgh who lived across the street from us, and there were times that I needed a ladder, and so I would make my way across the street to ask to borrow theirs, and they were so nice, and they would let me borrow it. But I wasn't one of those neighbors that kept it forever. I returned it. Then one day, he just gave me the ladder. Maybe he was tired of me asking. I don't know. But he was nice enough to give it to me. One commentator wrote that God defies the notion that what people give to him as theirs and that they are being benevolent in parting with their property for God's sake. God says, what? Many people buy into this false perception that they own stuff and then they give some of it to God. If God owns it all, you aren't giving to him what is yours. It's already his. Your money doesn't belong to you. Because God owns it all, thirdly, I don't belong to me. Huh? If God owns it all, that includes you and me. Stop and think about this. You belong to God. We read this psalm earlier. Let me finish this verse in Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Stop, right? We read that. The world and all its people belong to him. All the people of the world belong to God. The world and all who live in it are his. The earth and everything and everyone in it exists for the Lord. God takes it another step further when he reminds followers of Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Don't you realize that? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. You are no longer your own. You don't belong to yourself. You don't own yourself. Your body does not belong to you. You and I belong to him. And because we were bought with a very high and great price. What was that price? The death of Jesus Christ. You don't belong to you. I'll just pivot here. That is not what the world wants to hear. This is me. This is my body. This is mine. You belong to God. Jesus over all. As we close this morning, Jesus over all. The goal is that Jesus will be over all, over every area of our lives. That he's allowed access to every room in our lives, you know, to scrub and to clean. The main living spaces that people see, the living room and the kitchen and the front room and the family room, Jesus has access to that. And even in the back closets that no one sees, Jesus wants access to that. He wants to be Jesus overall in those areas of our lives too. Jesus over money. Pastor Spence, why did you go for the juggler? Why didn't you start out with Jesus over anger? Why didn't you start out with Jesus over laziness? Why start with money? Well, I believe that if we give total access to Jesus in this area of our lives, it will profoundly affect the other areas of our hearts. I believe that. Again, our spiritual lives are connected very closely with how we handle money. Jesus knew, again, that humanity, they wouldn't serve God unless they dethroned their idol of money and their idol of possessions. So this morning, God owns it all. You can kick and scream and fight it, but it won't change anything. God owns it all, everything. We shouldn't hold on to things like we own them. Sure, your name is on the title, your name is on the deed, but it really belongs to God. The sooner we understand that, the pressure begins to lift. Our job is to manage. Our job is to steward what God has given to us for His glory. To remember that it doesn't belong to us. To remember that we belong to God. God wants us to remember and not forget that He owns it all. He sent Jesus to purchase us. We are not our own. Thank the Lord. Sometimes, right, we need someone to just take care of us. I think most of us forget that no matter how great the value of our earthly fortune, we forget that it will be worthless in eternity. Well, look at this. Look how this. Look what I've got. And we forget that it's absolutely worthless in heaven, in eternity. But often, that's exactly what we pursue. We pursue the worthless. We pursue the temporary. Why? I think it's because we're afraid of not having enough to live on, that we won't have a roof over our head. We won't have food on the table. We won't have clothes on our backs. And we won't have the basic needs of our lives met. Friends, can I tell you, and that comes down to really trusting in God to meet our needs. Does God know your need? Does He really? Is He so busy that He doesn't know what you're going through? But yet we're afraid. We grab onto things that I can't let go of this. This is my security. This car, this house, whatever it is. Jesus is wanting you and me to understand what we value. Stop and think about what you value. Is it the temporary earthly treasures? Or is it the eternal heavenly treasures? You've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. You can't take it with you. But yet, what do we push for? We go for the temporary. We go for the things that meet our needs now. We want, we have to have. We'll stand before God and give an account of what we did with what He gave us. What will that conversation be like for you and me that day? Jesus over money begins with understanding this morning, God owns it all. God owns it all. Let's pray.